Thank you so much for joining us, Randa.
It's my pleasure.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you. Now, what was your experience like compiling this book? Were you kind of surprised by these stories? Was it difficult to hear some of them? Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, when Sarah and I set out to do this anthology, we wanted to compile stories, but we were curating them with a very specific sort of idea in mind, which is that we didn't want a book which was just going to be a collection of sort of model minority voices praising multicultural Australia. We really wanted something that would actually show the underbelly of what it feels like to live in the margins, to try and negotiate your identity in a place where racism and marginalization can often really push back against your own negotiation of your identities, particularly as you're growing up. And so we didn't want something that was just going to be this celebration of you know, ethnicities in the kind of way that sometimes we do talk about multiculturalism. And so when we were putting the call to pay, the call to submissions out, and when we were actually approaching people that we knew would have these sorts of stories to tell, it was really difficult for us to have to narrow it down to, you know, a specific number, because so many amazing stories came through that really fit what we were trying to do, which is push the conversation about identity. And yeah, it was difficult in that sense, particularly because, as you said in your introduction, Arab, you know, the definition of Arab, you know, when you think about how diverse the Middle East is, the Arab world is, and then within that itself, we had, you know, cross-cultural sort of identities within that mix of writers who were coming through to us. So there was a lot to try and think through as we looked at the stories. Ultimately, though, what compelled us as writers and made our decision was good writing. You know, someone who could tell a really good story was always something that got pushed to the top of our list.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of silly to say that there's just one homogenized Arab experience. So, you know, getting this book together, of course, is amazing. So this book, of course, raises many issues from family to grief and history to isolation. However, the issue of belonging seems to also be a huge one. So how can you describe this experience for Arab Australians?
Yeah, well, so what was clear to us is that there was no one experience, that it really was inflected by sort of your own social location and identity categories, that being Arab is a process. It's almost a process of becoming rather than something that you possess, that you are born into. That is something you perform based on where you are. And so there were stories where the way that you were an Arab girl, for example, or an Arab queer Palestinian, for example, changed depending on the context and setting, so that you would have to perform different kinds of registers of your identity in order to be safe, in order to protect yourself against racism. So sometimes people would suppress their identity, anglicize their name, assimilate, try to fit in. Other times they would be a lot more embracing and vocal and bold about who they were, because they felt they were in a protective and safe space. And that for me, for us both, was really key. The way that social structures of racism and homophobia and classism, they act to, you know, they press down onto the way that you perform your identity. And that can be incredibly exhausting, that you have to perform different versions of yourself depending on where you are. And it's something that resonates with me personally as well, and with Sarah, because that's what happens when you're growing up in a society and culture where you are so marginalized and demonized. You learn where you are going to be safe and where you can express yourself fully. And then there are places where you know that you cannot be the full person that you are, because there is a danger and threat to yourself in doing that.
Absolutely. Now, racism and discrimination, of course, is a huge issue that faces our Arab Australian community. Like just before this interview, we had an interview on the rise of Islamophobia, for example. Now, how does your book provide an account of these experiences?
Yeah, so of course, not all Arabs are Muslim, and not all Muslims
are
Arabs.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. just prefacing that. Like, yeah. So there are books in there where stories in there where Muslim males and Muslim females are talking, you know, and telling their story about the intersection between their ethnic identity as Arabs and Islamophobia. The idea of gendered Islamophobia when you read stories by Muslim women who wear hijab. So what we love about this book is how these are stories told by people on their own terms. They allow us glimpses into what it feels like to walk, having to deal with Islamophobia in some of these stories, and not just as adults, but stories of Islamophobic incidents in school playgrounds, which, you know, not surprising, but quite disturbing, I guess, was just how many stories we got in the submission about the sort of politics of playgrounds and how it lingers with you. It doesn't go away. You don't forget those stories because it happens at such a key moment in your life. You don't forget that comment that is made in grade 3 or grade 4 on the basketball court. It stays with you. It seems that those stories really do impact on you and sink deep into your sort of memories. And a lot of these stories are about the writers mining through those memories and taking readers on that journey of understanding how much it can shape who you are. But I have to say, these aren't stories about victimhood either. We didn't want sort of like this kind of, you know, tragic, tragi-porn kind of, you know, where people just, you know, are reading this so that they can get a glimpse into what it feels like to be a victim. Oh, they're so empowered and strong, and they fight back and talk back. And it's really stories where people have come into their identity despite racism and not because of it.
Absolutely. And you're so right with that, you know, like victims of racism are and discrimination are so much more than just victims of racism and discrimination. Now, how common, because as you said before, like, you got heaps and heaps of stories sent to you. So how common do you think such stories are within the wider community?
The you mean non-Arab minorities?
No, sorry. Just like the like, not people, I get, sorry.
Like the white majority?
No, like the wider, like D, not white.
Yeah.
Yeah, how common do you think, like, you've got all these stories, of course, yeah. Like, does it kind of seem like these issues of grief and belonging and history something that resonates with the wider Arab Australian community?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had just the most beautiful responses from Arab Australians who have, and actually Arabs from, we've had some responses from the UK and America as well who've read the book, who the stories resonate with them and they felt validated and they felt that the stories, that their stories were contained within these stories. So I think that they are quite representative of the different ways that, you know, racism plays out, and not just racism, but just the different pressures on people who do sort of navigate these different identity categories in a white society. And so it's not just it's not just an issue of race, for example. There are stories that are about, specifically, for example, what it means to be an Arab Muslim woman or an Arab woman, you know, family expectations, cultural expectations, stories about how you, this was probably one of the ones that resonated the most, how do you fight patriarchy within and racism without? So how do you not fall into the trap of validating other people's stereotypes and assumptions about your community whilst also tackling issues of injustice and racism and homophobia and sexism within your own community? And that's a double bind that is really difficult to navigate, because you're sort of being attacked and censored from within your community and outside it. And that's, again, incredible stories of how women are able to really push back against two tides against that are crashing against them in their quest for justice. So there's, yeah, different sort of variations of that in the book as well.
Absolutely. There are so many layers to it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rhonda. It's been really, really great talking to you about your book, and thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me and for embracing the book.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.